is with us, and this has been the theme of this series, Tales from the Trail. Our Father is with us in all the details of life. When we surrender our expectations to Him, we can begin to live with expectancy. When we surrender our expectations to Him, we can begin to live with expectancy. I'll unpack that as we go this morning. When people asked me how my sabbatical was in the church or pastors, and I want you to know there's a growing movement in our Dane County of pastors taking sabbaticals, which is so good. Because for the first 15 years, I never heard once of a pastor doing that, and it's needed. And really cool at the beginning of the series, which as soon as I left, the rest of the preaching team preached a series on rest, and the series was called Rest Rebellion, because we all need it. We all need it. And I listened to every one of them, though I didn't remember the series name. But when people asked me how it was, I would tell them, well, it's not what I expected nor planned. But it was exactly what my Father knew I needed. All right? And then I wasn't really thinking I would preach a sermon on alert expectancy, but then I had a couple people in the church say, man, I'd sure like to hear more on that. And so this morning, this message might be a little more testimony than it is even a sermon, but we'll see how that goes. And along the way, we'll let Scripture enlighten us into how we might live this life of expectancy. So expectations is something we all have, okay? Expectations are the things that concern our lives. And it could be we have expectations for our jobs. We have expectations for our marriages. And then when the kids come, guess what? Parents have expectations of their kids. And we even have expectations of our ministries. And so what are expectations? Really simply, they're just the things we anticipate will happen, right? It's the things that we desire to happen, hopefully, but we can also have negative expectations because maybe we're just a pessimist, you know, or we've seen someone not live up to our expectations or even ourselves. Because these expectations aren't just on circumstances and people outside of us, but expectations we have on ourselves, right? Right? And by the way, if you're new to New Cross Church or members, I love to hear your thoughts, impact, so shout them out, which was the last sermon. You could hear about shouting. But I want to just start with my own story, because when I said, or actually asked the question, what is your level of maturity, which is measured, spiritual maturity, which is measured by the level of joy and peace you're experiencing when things don't go your way, unmet expectations, I want to share my own story, because I'm a tower of maturity. And so what do you get when you have a person who is an Enneagram 1, a perfectionist, a visionary of the possibilities, lover of happy endings, yet tends towards moroseness? You get me. So, but the thing about expectancy is it's a journey. It's basically, it's like faith, two steps forward, one step back. Or maybe you feel like you got to flip it, you know, and you're going backwards instead of forwards. But, the elders have, pastoral staff take a sabbatical every 7 years. And so that time was up. And the very last meeting, the last responsibility was to lead our elders meeting and then start my sabbatical. And it had been, because I'm such a perfectionist and I'm harder on myself than anyone else, But I would just had this kind of building up. It was a moment of frustration, not in the elders' meeting. It's just as I guess I was entering into or coming to the end of a year, and I was just my last statement to the elders as we're ending that long elders' meeting was, "Hey, and feel free to find another pastor while I'm on sabbatical, you know, one that can do a better job than me." And but they know me pretty well, and they know I'm a drama child, God's drama child, and they probably just rolled their eyes, you know. But I just want you to know that all of us struggle with these things, but it's not do you have it, but are you on a journey of more joy, more peace? So I am greatly qualified to speak on this morning. And because an expectancy needs to be a foundation of every disciple's life. I mean, who wants to go through life without joy and peace? You know, frustration, anxiety, you know, sadness. And so let's look at this in a way that we can swap expectations for swap expectancy for expectations. And the way my journey started is where my last sabbatical left off 7 years ago. In that sabbatical, I had planned, because I'm an engineer, I actually planned what was the step spiritually, what would happen. I planned where my spiritual retreats would be and what would happen in those retreats. And I planned also to fill up my heart with joy, things I love doing. One of those, besides disc golfing, was I love landscaping and gardens. And so it all went exactly as I planned. You know, God met my expectations. And so how could I not be filled with joy by the end of that sabbatical? But I think the Lord, my Father in heaven, knew I needed, because I was in a desperate place, because of it, which is in some of the other sermons, of things that had led up to that, some tragedies and things, my father knew I needed to be able to go on retreats and in my introvertness have quietness and peace and hikes and joy, and he gave that to me in times of reading, and so it was wonderful. And as I came out of that in this last season, the last few years, he led me to Romans 15:13. And Romans 15:13 is Paul's prayer. And Paul prays to the church in Corinth. He says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." And so I knew he deposited that on my heart. And by the way, encouragement, when he deposits a verse on your heart, memorize it, because he'll use it more powerfully. It will go deeper if you hold it close in your heart. And so then begin, as soon as I, matter of fact, within months after memorizing that verse, begin a journey of all kinds of problems that would make it really hard to have joy and peace. And one of those things was lupus. Just that within months I discovered, well, several months I discovered had lupus, this autoimmune disease. And my whole body's racked with pain. Every joint hurt except for, I counted them, there was five toes out of all the joints in my body that was not in pain. And weakness. And so, but you know what? God used lupus as a tutor for Romans 15:13. And so I came to understand that this joy and peace in the journey is not when all your expectations are met, like that sabbatical I told you about, but there is a joy and peace that comes from a hoping in the Lord, a believing in the Lord. It's anchored to a person and not favorable outcomes. And so the troubles, actually what they do when you encounter troubles in your life, they reveal the condition of your heart. So what unmet expectations are you having? What unfulfilled dreams are not coming true? And sometimes it's because we create unrealistic expectations, but what are the troubles you feel you're going through? And don't they kind of reveal the condition of your heart? Amen? Amen? So what I came through that experience with my Lord, my Father, is that the hope I needed is what a lot more than wishful thinking, because you don't get to control circumstances and outcomes. But hope is a confident expectation in God's goodness and your salvation in Jesus Christ. And I carried that. I came to a deeper understanding what hope was. I thought hope was kind of like you pray for God to come and help in something that you think's good and is going to further his kingdom. But he doesn't always do that, because he cares more about you and your relationship with him. And so hope became this confident expectation, not in the good things God's going to do, in God's goodness. That's his character. And trusting in the salvation, which isn't just in the future, but a salvation that's working in your soul and my soul right here today as you believe in him. That's what that verse means, right? Amen? All right, now I got you. So we come to this realization, if you've lived very long, that the things you look forward to just aren't going to always work out the way you want. And that could be sometimes because of unrealistic expectations. We set the bar too high. That's my nature, being a visionary, dreaming of the possibilities. I have crazy long lists, and I've learned over the many years not to expect to get them all done, but I still write them out. How about you? Sometimes, though, we can set the bar too low and we just become a pessimist and we, you know, like Eeyore and Winnie the Pooh, it's going to all turn out bad anyway. Every day is going to be a rainy day. You know, so that's how we sometimes try to handle our expectations after experiencing they never work, is either deny. Don't even try and write them out, which isn't what the message this morning's about. It's not don't set goals, have expectations. And it also doesn't mean, you know, be a pessimist and just despair that anything's ever going to be good, because that's not our Father in heaven. An author says, and I don't know who it is, it says, how do we get to the place where we can be disappointed in the past, yet still have hope in the future? Short answer, take all our expectations of what could be, should be, or will be, and set them at the foot of the cross. Then pick up the spirit of expectancy and cover our minds and hearts with that. That's the short answer. So let's unpack it now a little bit. And what I want you to understand is that you can walk in expectancy when I prayed about this, I realized there's three things the Lord's been kind of showing me during the sabbatical. And it's been growing over a lifetime because it's a journey. But you can walk in expectancy when you, and these are the three things we're going to cover this morning. Seek to live in the Father's presence. Trust your expectations to the Father's will. Rejoice with anticipation of the Father's glory. And I use the word Father each time because that's how my sabbatical started, was I felt God wanting me to make every prayer Father, to concentrate on his character as a Father in my life. And so you can change that word out for God, but for me this morning, I'm going to use the word Father. So first, we can walk in expectancy. The first step is to seek to live in the Father's presence. A friend of mine, just as we were talking about expectancy, really loved Psalm 37. And so we're not going to go deep into it, but just for fun, I'm going to just share a couple verses from there as we go, which actually the Bible's full of expectancy, though I would bet my top dollar that none of your translations have the word once in the Bible. Yet it's all over the Bible, as I'll prove later. It's in the stories, it's implied, and there is a word in which could be translated expectancy. And I've already mentioned it once in case you didn't hear it. I won't repeat it until later. So, living in the Father's presence, Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land to befriend faithfulness. And so it begins with trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and live your life well. Our God is a good God. His character is good. So when it says do good, you're just basically living like our Father in heaven. And dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness, because our Father is faithful. So live your life out in a way that's faithful to Him, faithful to others, right? Now, we could have translated the word trust as surrender. I didn't say kill your expectations, but a way of trusting them is surrendering them to the Father in heaven. So, My first retreat, I took 1 week retreat, spiritual retreat, each month of the summer. So I had three spiritual retreats. And the first one was in northern Wisconsin at Oak Forest Retreat Center. And they have a suite for pastors to stay in that are there to just kind of get away. And Mark Ryland is the director of that retreat. And they have large groups. Matter of fact, while I was there, and it's this huge resort place that used to be a golf clubhouse turned into apartments and a retreat center. And there was a quilting group, and then there was a large church staff all there. And Mark's the director of all that, and they provide all the food and everything you need. And so I had planned this sabbatical and retreats like I did the last one. I wanted to be able to, through this experience, get refreshed spiritually. I wanted to reflect on who I am and who God is. And then I wanted to restructure my life spiritually with what He showed me. And that's how I did the first one. But for me, a place to do that is in a spiritually quiet place with few conversations with other human beings. And so, first day I get there, I see Mark. I know him. My wife and I have led a marriage retreats there, hosted marriage retreats there in the past. And I said, hey, Mark, and just went to catch up with them. And I asked, but something in me is like, he's not doing well. Hey, how you doing? You know, and as I'm ready to get my dinner in the buffet line, and he goes, oh, I've had some cancer. Yeah, and oh, really? And he goes, and he had a short sleeve shirt on. And he goes, yeah, I got this 1% out of the cancers. It's a 1% cancer. It grows, but it grows slow. Actually, I don't even know if he said it. But anyway, it grows, but it won't go past the shoulder joint. But if it does, then I'm in real trouble. And so they can't treat it. They have to, with like chemo or radiation, they have to cut it out. So, and they've cut it out twice, but it seems I have some more. And it looks like it's right there near the shoulder joint. And if it gets past that, I'm in real trouble. Now, the cool thing about Mark is this man has a lot of spiritual maturity, and he wasn't stressed. Isn't it always the others you care and are most concerned about? His family, his grandkids, his wife, and his kids. And he was at peace with whatever happens. But I just right there in a spot, I learned, man, if you encounter someone, even in the public, you know, I'll do this. Hey, can I pray for you? And I shared that in one of the messages when I was at Squeaky Bees. But so I prayed for Mark, and then and also he said, hey, I know, and he leads this retreat center. He says, I know you're here to retreat, but would it be okay if I stopped by and, you know, and just talk with you at some point? You know, my heart's like, no, I'm not here to talk to human beings. But I said, sure. And so a few days later, I'd never seen it happen before, but the whole place vacated of people. There was no one there except the staff and me. And so I was, and they had this beautiful courtyard and a campfire. And anyway, I'm sitting at this campfire looking out over acres and acres of this, what used to be a golf course, in these trees and meadows, and it's just beautiful. And then Mark comes over with a pastry. It was in the morning, and sits down and starts talking. And he goes, "Hey, I've been asked," and he shares some stuff. And he also, "I've been asked to write by the board, why do pastors need spiritual retreats, and can I interview you on that and get your thoughts?" And sure, yeah. And so we do that, and that took up most of the morning. And he also had to mow the lawn with the big machines. So I thought, I'll just go back to my suite. And I went back there, and then while I was praying, I felt like, God, I feel like I was supposed to pray again for his shoulder, his cancer. Not his shoulder, but his arm, his cancer. And so if you want me to do that, I pray you'll give me another opportunity. See, this is kind of like the way things go in life, right? It's not quite what I had planned. But now as you learn to listen to your Father in heaven and say, what's your plan? And then you follow it and see what happens. And so sure enough, the day before I had to leave, he stopped by again. And we talked some more. And then I got my chance to pray for him again a second time. And it was really sweet. And so this is just my way of saying you trust your expectations to your Father's will. And actually, I guess I kind of need to mention, seek to live in the Father's presence. And that's really what that last story was about, was first we seek to live in the Father's presence. A lot of times we don't realize that God wants us to walk with him continually. And so it's not just his presence at church on Sunday morning. It's not just his presence when you're having your coffee and reading your Bible in the morning and praying. And so this expectancy begins with, I can live every moment in the presence of God, listening for what he wants to do. And so that's with Mark. I realized, I'm okay that it got interrupted. It wasn't what I expected, because my Father was with me and wanted me just to be a friend and someone to come along and pray for him. And it becomes this beautiful thing. So now, the second step, trust your expectations to the Father's will. In this, we do have our plans. And I had my own plans on how I was going to do this. And I surrendered even that sabbatical to him, but I'm not beyond getting frustrated like anyone else. I have to read Proverbs 16:9. The heart of man plans his ways, right? Men and women, we plan our ways, but who establishes his steps? The Lord. So go ahead, make your plans, but surrender them. Trust his plan to supersede your own plan. So in part of my plans, I wanted in our new house that we bought a few years ago, I had things I wanted to do to the landscaping around the house, especially because it needed redoing. All the rocks needed dealing with. The yard was not sloped right, so and rain would pile up against the house. And so I needed to do work around the house. And in Craig's plans, that was the top of my list outside of reading my Bible and praying and just meeting with God, was I got to get that one thing done, because then the other list of fun things like woodworking and gardening and disc golfing and meeting with people, that would be the icing on the cake. And that one I thought should not take too long. So in my journal, I wrote, let me just turn there. So I had my first retreat the first week of July. First week of June. By July 6, I write, "This wasn't the sabbatical I wanted." way too much landscaping, and I was having to move rocks and wheelbarrows of soil, and it was just turned into this nightmare for me. And one night I focused my prayers on God as my Father, and I was so frustrated because I felt overwhelmed. Have you ever felt that when you look at your list? This is overwhelming, right? And I felt overwhelmed by all the things that would have to happen for the sabbatical to become what I wanted. And I just prayed to my Father in heaven that I want to live this summer with you. And I don't know what to do because my plans aren't working out. And as I laid there, I felt this wave of happiness. And I actually wrote, I felt this wave of happiness, not a peace. Okay, I wasn't at peace with the circumstances, but I felt a wave of peace that indicated God was answering my prayers. This was simply a large happiness that one experiences in life because you're with your good Father in heaven, is what I wrote. So the happiness wasn't him saying, yeah, I'm going to work it all out. Don't worry about it. It was just, I'm happy because I'm with my Father. And that was an experience I'd never have had quite like that before. And so I woke up with the pressure of all that still needed to be done. See, the pressure, you still feel the pressure. But I felt relaxed. And that day was beginning with meeting with a young pastor in Madison who wanted to go disc golfing with me. And I thought, okay, we'll go disc golfing. I don't have time for this. You see how that happens? And it's like, because, man, I got a long list of things to do to this yard. But we'll start at 7:30 a.m. And if we play 18, it's a 27-hole hole disc golf course. Maybe I'll have enough time to get at least one thing on the list done. I had a long list. And then he wanted to play 27. And it's like, and I had to take a deep breath, okay. You know, but we had this great time together. It was fun, right? And I had to let go of my plans and surrender them to God's will. And so I get home and I have this, I need 540 feet of edging. I don't know how I'm going to get it to my house. I need to get more rocks away from the house. There's a weedy dirt pile in the back. I need more soil. And there was just this, and I get home, and I won't take you through the whole journey, but basically I wrote in here, let's revisit. I was hoping only to disc golf and move a little dirt. But today I was able to disc golf with the pastor, get dirt and slope the yard away from my house. I had to get my truck, shovel dirt in it, come back, unshovel the dirt. I was able to get all the sloping done. I was able to get buy all the edging and have it delivered right into my garage, 540 feet. I was able to stake Jill's clematis. I was able to remove a large evergreen bush in the back. I was able to get that into my truck and get it to the dump. I was able to mow the lawn, and then I was able to arrange for a friend to come over and help me get that edging in the coming week. That was amazing. That exceeded even my list. So let's see, the happy ending, right? Then I rented the edger, and this was the second week of July. And my friend and I should be able to get that edging in just 2 days at the most. Well, I want you to know there's 540 feet of edging behind my shed right now. And I'm not going to even be able to get it in until next year because we ended up with the wettest year on record, I think. And so it made it impossible for the trencher machine to even trench. And it just became this nightmare. But what I wrote in here is, I think, the point for me is to seek my Father in all circumstances and accept them for what they are. True joy and happiness is found in being with him, not in things working out the way you want. Okay? That's reality. And so my Father is allowing me to have all these unmet expectations. And it's this journey of my having to wrestle with, am I going to trust my expectations to his good will? I can trust my Father. You can trust your Father in heaven. The question is, do you know him? To trust somebody, you have to know somebody. Isn't that right? Who is your Father? It's not resigning yourself to just whatever will happen. Alan Redpath, author and pastor, says, there is nothing, no circumstance, no trouble, no testing that can ever touch me until it, first of all, it has gone past God and past Christ, right through me. If it has come that far, it has come with a great purpose, which I may not understand at the moment, but as I refuse to become panicky, as I lift up my eyes to him and accept it as coming from the throne of God for some great purpose of blessing to my own heart, no sorrow will ever disturb me. No trial will ever disarm me. No circumstance will cause me to fret, for I shall rest in the joy of what my Lord is. So who is God? God is sovereign. And when you hear God is sovereign, you may not know what that means. It means he can do anything he wants. He can do it how he wants. He can do it when he wants. Does that trouble you that he has that much power and control? Or does it lighten the load of your heart a little bit? God is not just sovereign, he is present. He's not a distant, impersonal God. He's right with you all the time, wanting to meet with you. God is good. When Moses wanted to see the glory of God, he said, I will reveal my goodness. His goodness is his very character. Your God, your Father in heaven, is good. Your Father in heaven is love, because the Bible says God is love. God is your Father. Graham Cook, speaking on God's will, he's an author and speaker, said in the book Embracing Change, he said, God is consistent, but he is also unpredictable. He is consistent in his nature. You always know where you are with God, but you seldom know what he's going to do next. Isn't that true? You cannot find security in what God is doing. There is only security in who God is, right? Are you with me? Makes sense? And God's will, according to Romans 12:2, is good and acceptable and perfect. Test it, he says. Test my will. And it's good for you. It's acceptable. It's doable. It's perfect. And so the takeaway in trusting your expectations to the Father's goodwill, who loves you, he loves you, he loves you, is expectancy needs steadfast trust in his steadfast love. Your expectancy needs to have steadfast faith in his steadfast love. You know, Jesus experienced the unexpected. Did you realize that? Open up to Mark 6. Let's open up your Bibles or swipe your phone to Mark 6. And I want you to see that Jesus himself experienced the unexpected, but he still trusted his Father's will. Because we think, man, you know, and think about it. Think the whole Old Testament is filled with stories of people who are experiencing the unexpected. It's all over the Old Testament. It's all over the New Testament. I mean, it just is. I'm giving you time to turn there. I've been reading through the Bible. That's part of my sabbatical. And I went recently, just even the last two books, Esther 4:14. She's this young girl. She unexpectedly becomes a queen in Persia. The queen, you know, under the king. And she also got selected to be this queen out of a beauty contest, which we can't go there now. But all of a sudden she finds herself in one of the highest positions. But then unexpectedly, there's this Haman guy who wants to destroy and kill all the Jews. And Mordecai, her uncle, says to her, "And who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" So the unexpected happens, but she has to come to this crisis point. Will I trust God that he has a purpose and he's going to use me in this? And then if you look at Mark and Jesus in Mark chapter 6, we find that he goes to his hometown, Nazareth, and he goes there, but the people have a hard time believing he's more than Joseph's son. And in verses 5 and 6, we read this, "And Jesus could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief." He marveled because it was a surprise. So even Jesus, the Son of God, while he was on earth, he wasn't omnipotent. He didn't know everything that was going to happen, only what his Father showed him. But he trusted his Father's will for his life with expectancy. And then what happens is he sends out the 12 disciples, and this is part of the story. He sends them out to preach the good news, heal the sick, cast out demons. And so they're sent out in the region, and this is hard work. And while they're gone, he gets the story that John the Baptist is beheaded, a terrible death. And this, you got to remember, Jesus is human and his heart grieves. Even Jesus has to grieve. And John the Baptist was his cousin. And some, you know, when we have someone die on us, the closer they are, the harder it is. And so in Matthew, you read, as soon as he heard this, he wanted to retreat away, get away. And here in Mark 6, we pick it up now in verse 30. So the apostles return. Jesus finds out that John has been beheaded. And they return, and it says in verse 30 through 33, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And Jesus said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat." So you can imagine those times when life is just piled up so high. You're exhausted, you're tired, and things aren't going the way you hoped. Or just hard things happen. And Jesus planned basically to go on a spiritual retreat with his disciples. But as they leave in the boat, the people figure out where they're going and people head them off. So by the time the boat lands on shore, there's all these people there, right? That's unexpected. I challenge you, go through life and every time something happens that you didn't anticipate, say, "That's unexpected." Start seeing how often you start saying that. "Well, that's unexpected." Jesus himself had that. So what does Jesus do? Well, he turns the boat around and runs for it. No, he trusts his Father's will. And he surrenders his own plans. He trusts him. And what happens is, it says Jesus felt compassion for them. For they were like sheep without a shepherd. Do you know what happens? He feeds them, more than 5,000 people. And he involves the disciples in it who were tired, and he recognized they need a break too. And what comes out of the unexpected, because Jesus trusts his Father's plan, is the feeding of 5,000. What comes after the feeding of the 5,000? Jesus walks on water. He meets the disciples in the boat as they leave that day. He sends them out ahead because he needs to spend a little quiet moment with his Father in heaven praying. And then he meets them on the water. If Jesus didn't trust the Father's plan, 5,000 people wouldn't have got fed. He wouldn't have walked on water. Peter would have never had a pinnacle moment of joining him walking on the water. All these things happen because Jesus trusted with anticipation his Father's will. So the third step is to rejoice with anticipation of the Father's glory. And so like Psalm 37:3 talks about trusting in the Lord and do good, Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. You see, rejoicing with anticipation is a picture of someone delighting in what? In what? The Lord. See, my mistake was delighting when things go my way. But this psalm is delight yourself in the Lord. That is delighting in him, in his character, his goodness. It's delighting in his commandments because they're true and they give us life. It's delighting in his will for our lives because we know it's a good, acceptable, and perfect will. It's delighting in him. Then comes the desires of our heart, which all of a sudden you realize all I wanted at the end of the day was to be with my Father in heaven. And he fulfills that desire. And he fulfills those desires, the things you pray in that heart, because they line up with his will. And so when you pray, Father, like I did at the beginning of my sabbatical, I just want to be with you. Jesus, I want you to manifest yourself to me. He did all those things in my life, but just not in the way I expected. And it came through, you know, circumstances that weren't working out the way I wanted. Has that happened with you? Yeah. So my second retreat in July, right after that discovery that I wasn't going to be able to even accomplish the first thing on my list with the yard, was to go to Colorado. And so someone had set me up with, one of the elders set me up with a friend in Colorado. And before I had agreed to go there, because I was looking for cheap places to go, and I said, now understand, Rick, that it has to be a place where I can be quiet and I can be still. And I just want to read a lot. I want to pray a lot. And he goes, yeah, you know, Tim has got this house. Tim has a ministry for men, this Outdoors Adventures ministry. And it's a big five-bedroom house, and it's got lots of space, and I talked to him about it. And it's like, okay. But then I texted Tim and told him what my goals were. I just wanted to make sure, you know, no one's going to, you know, want to talk to me. Heaven forbid. And so I get there, and I even came up with plan B, because I was like, man, I got to have at least one retreat where it's still and quiet. And my plan B was, well, I'll just spend a week in a coffee shop if I have to, if this doesn't work out. So I go there and discover by the time I'm there, it's a five-bedroom house filled with guys. There's like, it's not just one or two. Now there's five guys in his house. And like I said before, it was like living in a fraternity house. And we're all having to eat our own dinners separately. We're bumping into each other. Some of them have the kind of jobs that they're around for part of the day. And so all of a sudden, and it's like, well, you know, okay, I can't be upstairs, but there's another space downstairs. And wherever I went, and surprisingly, half the guys were super talkative. And it's like they wouldn't, you know, it's like I'm having all these conversations, but I just wanted quietness. So the next day, I got a coffee and I got out of there and found the only coffee shop in Grand Lake. And guess what? It was about the size of a Starbucks, but it was in a tourist town, and it was just packed with people and noise. And it's like I couldn't even go to the coffee house, so all I was left to do was go hiking, which I love, but the sabbatical ended up not being the reading of books I had on my list to read, things I was really looking forward to. But I would get to take my Bible and my journal and write sitting on a trail once in a while for a little while, and that was cool. But in this time in Colorado, Tim, because of conversations we had, at the end of it asked if he could, I said some things that he thought might be good for the men to hear, and he said, can I ask questions and interview you, you know, and I think, you know, this would be good for the guys to hear. And so part of my sabbatical was him for hours interviewing me and putting it into something he would use for the guys. And it's like, okay, that's fine. And also I heard, you know, there was a lot of brokenness. We all have brokenness, and it was listening to guys' brokenness and their stories and praying. And you know, it was just, it was a great ministry time. But I went for Craig's sabbatical, a retreating. And it's like, but, you know, by this point, I realized what God was doing. I realized I needed to kind of just trust him more. And so I trusted him. And so this retreat was fun. And I got to do lots of hiking, but I felt on some ways that I was on, you know, I was still pastoring, but I trusted God. And so now turn to the key passage this morning is Romans 5. And I just wanted to hinge it on Romans 5 because this kind of leads us into the understanding that the third step in having expectancy is rejoicing in anticipation of the Father's glory. And I need to unpack the Father's glory a little bit. So looking at Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, we read, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, justified meaning through Jesus Christ's death on the cross, we are forgiven and we are right before God the Father. We have peace with him, it says, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, there's that peace. Through Christ, we have that peace. Through him, we also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We rejoice, and listen to this, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I'm going to pause there a moment. That's a lot. We could spend weeks in just those first few verses. You see, the glory of God means that's the place where he reveals himself to humanity. He manifests himself to you. His greatness, his goodness gets on display for us to see, and it's amazing and it's wonderful. But also, the glory of God, it's not just something in the future that's going to come when Jesus returns and the shouts of the angels and we're all taken up into heaven. It's not just that glory. It's a glory we get to experience here today in this moment and tomorrow when you are at work or in home. And the glory is something that we get to live. It becomes, and if you look over at 2 Corinthians, one verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we read, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God. So we're beholding, whoa, this is God. He's incredible. But then we read, are being transformed into the same image. We're becoming like him, that glorious image of Jesus. We're becoming just like that, like him, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And so by the power of God's Spirit, we are being transformed into the likeness of Christ and the Father. That's what is so glorious, you see? And so we have this anticipation when we are walking in God's will, even in the moments of the unexpected, oh, that was unexpected, that we're going to get to see God's glory either coming to us or coming out of us for the Father's benefit. Does this make sense? Good. Talk to me afterward if it's not. I know this is kind of deep stuff, the scriptures Paul's teaching us in Romans. And back to Romans chapter 5, it says in verse 3, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Think of that as your troubles. What's troubling you? What's the unmet expectation you have that's frustrating you? We rejoice in but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Some translations say perseverance, and endurance produces character. God cares more about your character than the outcomes of circumstances. Produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Do you see? It is the Father's glory that is now at work in you when you live this life of anticipation. It is the Father's love that makes you able to trust Him. It's the Holy Spirit that helps you do what feels as impossible. Amen? And so by the time of my last retreat came, I was full of anticipation of what God would do. My first two retreats got interrupted, so I thought, well, God loves threes. And sure enough, in California, I mean, not just on the family vacation while we were also there, I found myself taking people to the hospital two times, you know, my own wife, and facing maybe possible meningitis, but it wasn't, thank you, Lord. But then on our spiritual retreat that Jill joined me on that one, she had invited some old California friends to meet with us. And so they came and spent half the day with us. But by this time, like, I wonder how this is going to end. You know, because, and they understood, you know, I was on retreat, and they even said, you know, we know you don't probably want to, you know, get into, you know, stuff. But, you know, by the end of the evening, the husband's telling me about they had built an addition to their home for her parents to live who are retired. Things were not going as expected. Now there's family dynamics that are not healthy with their adult kids, and there's, you know, and there's just kind of an estrangement that's happening, and he's telling me this, and it's like, and I'm just like, man, I'm sorry to hear that, and you know, I said a few things, and then he's going, he turns to his wife and say, hey, tell her this, because they were at odds in the marriage about this, and so Jill and I enter into this time of counseling just through this. What do you do with in-laws as you're trying to honor God by taking care of them, and you're not on the same page, and it just, but you know what? It's all good, isn't it? Joy and peace when you're living with anticipation that God's going to show up. And if He wants to use you or me to be His glory in someone's life, what a privilege. You know, they say expectations are premeditated resentments. You ever hear that? Expectations are premeditated resentments. You know, but that kind of makes you feel like don't have any, right? But I think more importantly is we take our relational expectations. Or how about life's expectations? You know, just with, man, you can even go to the restaurant. This happened to me. Same restaurant, order a burger, medium rare, and it keeps coming back well done over and over. You can get really angry, you know, or you know, just, you know, your kids aren't doing the things you wanted, or your spouse, you know, you just can't seem to get them to behave the way you need them to. You know, whatever those things are, there are life expectancies, there are relational expectations, and there's moral expectations. How many of you, this one can be the hardest one, where you have expectations on your life spiritually and morally, and it's not, man, I keep messing up, I keep sinning, I keep failing, or man, I'm just not hearing God as much as the, you know, Joe Blow or Susie Q, you know, and it's like we have these expectations, and we just feel like we're failing at them. I like what Brennan Manning heard Jesus say to him. Brennan Manning's he's passed away, a great author, and he said, Brennan, I expect more failures from you than you expect from yourself. Peace is my gift to you. Isn't that beautiful? So I'm going to close with now, as I came to this message on expectations, starting with Romans. I felt the Lord lead me back to that Romans 15, 13. For the God of hope, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. I thought, well, Lord, I know that joy and hope is the measure of expectations. But I want to talk about expectancy. And it's, and this doesn't, is this really this verse about expectancy? But then in reading Romans 5, verses 3 through 5 in the Message Bible, we read it this way. This translation says, there's more to come. Yeah. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience. I like that. Passionate patience, you know, for that endurance. And how that patience in turn forges tempered steel of virtue, you know, that character. Just like, man, that's a woman of steeled character, a man with tempered steel, solid, right? And how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. And that's where our translations talk about the character produces hope. And he translates it as alert for what God will do next. See, you're hoping for whether it's expected or unexpected because God is in it. And then in our translation say, in the hope that does not put us to shame, he translates in alert expectancy such as this, we are never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. That's a life of expectancy. So, I think as a gift to myself, but encouragement to you, what God gave me was, let me see what that glory does. Because the truth is, 90% of living our life with expectancy of the Father's glory, 90% of it we'll never get to see on this side of heaven. But you will. You live this life of expectancy, seeking Him, trusting Him, rejoicing with anticipation of the good that will come out of it. We will get to see that all played out in heaven. But as a snapshot of the Father's glory, Mark Reland, the director of Oak Forest, sent an email and said, Craig, thanks for reaching out to me. God is good all the time, he says in the email. I praise him for the great reports I have received. All clear of cancer at this point and doing well. I was able to keep the arm, so I'm very pleased with the outcome. The future could be different, but for now it's all good. And I'm not the one that healed him. Only Jesus heals, and I'm not the only one that prayed. But God obviously, because I'm willing for my plans to be interrupted unexpectedly, get to be used. And so that's an example of the Father's glory. And then Tim, who leads this men's ministry, created this video and sent it to me and just thanked me for being available, that he's going to use this to, and the topics ranged everything from, because I grew up in a divorced family, hey, tell fathers, you know, what it's like to be a kid in a divorced family, and how do fathers, you know, how can, because he himself was a father of five kids in a divorced, broken marriage, and how do we call, he wanted to talk about how we call up young men to be spiritual leaders in this current culture we live in, and just, what a blessing just to be available, and I don't know, you know, what's helpful or not helpful, but he was able to use this in some way. And then I got at the end of, this is all at the end of my sabbatical, these things came, and then the last one was this precious couple in California writing Jill and I a thank you card and taking the time to speak into their family situation and the differences that it's making. Like I said, we don't get these things, but I think God was showing me this to say, this is really what you wanted, wasn't it? More than just quietness and solitude? Didn't you just want to experience me? And so this sabbatical wasn't what I expected or planned, but it's what exactly my father knew I needed. Your father, bow your heads. I want to speak this over you. Your father is with you in all the details of your life. Your father loves you, not in spite of your failures to meet your own expectations, but he loves you through and in them. So surrender your expectations and let all of us begin to live with expectancy. Father, I pray for those here because these might be light stories and illustrations, but all of us go through sometimes very real and harsh realities that we didn't see coming. But we try so hard to do what we think is good, and it still blows up in our face, or we try to be the person you want us to be, and we mess up in that and in our relationships around others. But that's what those words mean. We can trust you love us, and you're in all this.